Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh boy, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Mark Cox will be back tomorrow. It's because it's a mixture of a few things. One, he's just in the holiday spirits. He loves his audience and his fans so much. And he's out of vacation days. So he'll be back again tomorrow. And I think you'll enjoy hearing some of his stories, which I am as well. And before we get to that, let's take a look at the shortlist.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
Well, Pope Francis emphasizing that the message of Christmas is one of reconciliation and one of peace. He's calling on countries to lay down their arms.
It's kind of interesting. Yes, peace is always a good message. There's a lot of different messages, biblically speaking. I don't think you have to try to force your message into something that is a different message. You can find other messages to pull from. But this is the Pope, so I guess the Pope gets to do whatever he wants.
Wishing people a Merry Christmas when you don't know what holiday they celebrate is sort of like wishing someone a happy birthday when you don't know when their birthday is.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it's like. So, yes, people say, no one says you can't say Merry Christmas. Ah, no one says that. Well, of course they do. I mean, you just go on TikTok and there they are.
President-elect Donald Trump is taking shots on the golf course and on social media this Christmas Day, calling Canada's Prime Minister, quote, Governor Justin Trudeau.
If we were to do a ranking, a power ranking of the governors and some of the worst governors in the country, I think a lot of people would be very upset with, like, Gavin Newsom in California. They don't like what their state has turned into under these radical leftist type of relaxations of the law, put it that way, that they move their companies, they move themselves out. Where would Justin Trudeau rank? Would he rank above or below that? He probably would even make California look not as bad in comparison.
Happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka because they said so.
Carl, Smokey Robinson said happy Chinooka to you.
Well, happy Chinooka to you, Ryan Recker.
Love it so much. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to you as well. But can I not say that? Can't say Merry Christmas according to that TikToker. You know, we need to play that full clip if we could. The TikToker just having issues with people saying Merry Christmas around Christmas. This is clip four.
Wishing people a Merry Christmas when you don't know what holiday they celebrate is sort of like wishing someone a happy birthday when you don't know when their birthday is. Like, yeah, I get the sentiment, but you're a little off. That's neither here or there, but I get a kick out of the people who insist on saying Merry Christmas instead of just saying Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays, everybody.
So did you stupid. Hear how many times he had to edit that to make it there's 22 like seconds?
12 edit points in 22 seconds. It seems like it. You heard it a lot. And you can tell, and since we're in radio and we edit audio, we can hear these things. Our ears are trained for it. So what you as a listener may not have heard What you'll hear is there's a little bit of a background hum when the person's talking, and then the hum cuts out, and then the hum comes back. So you can hear every single edit point, and there's a little click in between. So when you play something like that, at least for a trained ear, you realize the guy couldn't do a 22-second rant in one take.
Now, unless that could have been on purpose. It is TikTok. That's a thing. But
what's the point of doing it that way, then?
Let's not give him the benefit of the doubt.
No, I'm not going to. This is another story that some people are talking about. On Christmas Eve, President Joe Biden signed 50 bills into law. Among them was to change the U.S. code to designate the bald eagle as the national bird. It's kind of cool, right? I always thought it was. Like, did you not know it wasn't already our national bird? I didn't know it wasn't already.
Well, that's
already.
What we always were told.
Yeah. I didn't realize it. Those
maybe it's
huge.
Official now. Maybe it was the unofficial bird, and now it is the actual bird.
Officially will be recognized as our nation's national bird. So with the passage of that legislation, I love it. I mean, that's honestly, that sums up America to me as a bald eagle, doesn't it? Like, that's a fantastic way to summarize it into an animal. And it's a fierce predator. Have you ever seen one of those things in action? They are huge. They got a huge wingspan, talons. Oh, man, they can grab onto things. What is it, like a 7-foot wingspan or something on those things? You don't realize how big they are until you get in close to one. You don't want to mess with one, man. You don't want to take one on one-on-one. So, hey, at least Joe Biden did something good on his way out. One other conspiracy theory that is floating around the internet right now. I love a good conspiracy theory, and this has to do with the International Space Station. I want to see, Carl, I want you to play the devil's advocate on this one and try to play the other side to this conspiracy theory and explain it to me. Let me go through this. When the astronauts were stranded on the International Space Station, they were pictured wearing Santa hats next to a tiny Christmas tree this week. But as some people have pointed out, their mission launched in June. It was supposed to be an 8-day mission, and they've been stranded there ever since. With a Boeing Starliner capsule meant to be their ride home. Hasn't happened yet. They've had issues. So the conspiracy theory is, did they travel to space with Santa hats and a tree in June thinking that they would be there long term? Or how else did they get it up there? So the conspiracy is, maybe this quote unquote 8-day mission was a lie. Maybe they knew they would be there and bring these things. Because when you're going to the International Space Station, Carl,
yes.
Weight is an extremely important part of what you can put into any ship up into the space station. It's extremely expensive, and you have very limited space. So you have to be very intentional with the things you bring up. If you're going up in June, why would you pack Santa hats if you don't need them? What's going on there, Carl?
I say they were already there.
They were just on the space station?
Yeah.
Someone left them from behind?
Yeah, because that's the thing about weight. Why would you, if you're there around Christmas, you bring that stuff. But if you're going home in June, you wouldn't think to take your Santa stuff. You're like, oh, I'll just leave it here.
Okay. Do you want to know what the real answer is? That's a pretty good answer, though. The Santa hats in the tree was part of a SpaceX delivery that happened later. They weren't transporting people. They were just transporting stuff.
It's Elon Musk's fault.
Yeah, it's Elon Musk's fault. So that was the actual one. But I love the idea that people are like, wait a minute. They're not even supposed to be there right now. How did they get Santa hats? I kind of like the conspiracy better than the answer myself. And a lot of times I like the conspiracy better than the real answer almost every time when it comes to conspiracy. Talking about conspiracies, I mentioned this to you off air on Tuesday, but I'll bring it to you on air. So I visited the Henry Ford Museum here in Detroit, and they have a lot of historical items, some fantastic historical items, copies of the Constitution. Copies of the Declaration of Independence, excuse me. So that, you know, when they made this thing, they made copies to send to different states. So Henry Ford's got one in the museum here in Detroit. They have the chair that Abe Lincoln was assassinated in. Pretty amazing to have something like that. They also have the car John F. Kennedy was assassinated in. And of course you go there and the first thing you look for, are there holes in the upholstery? Are there blood stains? No, it's perfectly clean. And you're like, wait a minute. I read the little sign that came with it. Apparently, they kept using the same motorcade that JFK was assassinated in for a couple of more presidents after that. They reused it over and over again until they retired it. That seemed strange to me, too. There's got to be a conspiracy around that. And they changed the color of it, too. It went from like a dark blue, a presidential blue, to a black. I think it was LBJ wanted to change it. Kind of interesting. All right. Another conspiracy we can start at another time. Joining us after the break, Elon Musk is attempting to create his own city. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown joins us after the break. Why are billionaires doing this? That's a good question. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox on 97.1 FM Talk. Carl, this is a Christmas song. There's no fooling anyone.
Do you think people left yesterday?
There's no home for the holidays. What holiday do you think they're talking about?
But it's holidays. New Year's Eve is still coming up.
So you're counting this as a package deal, and then it doesn't specifically...
it's holidays, plural. I mean, you could play this at, 4th of July.
Home for the holidays. Holidays is also what some car companies use to sell vehicles around this time, right? They put a Z on the end.
Exactly.
Honda days. Something like that. Wait, I missed out on the toy. What's the Toyota one?
This Toyota Sail-a-thon or whatever?
Sail-a-thon or something. Oh, I missed out on the Happy Sail-a-thon.
Toyota-thon, that's it.
Toyota-thon, yeah. Oh, man, that TikToker said, why don't they say happy Toyota-thon to people anymore? Oh, joining us now is Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And being that it is now post-Christmas, Carl, our producer, is still playing Christmas music because he says it's still within the window of acceptability.
These are holiday songs, not Christmas songs. None of them say Christmas.
Yeah, all the radio stations that still play the Christmas music, they are back to regular rotation this morning, except for this morning radio show. So Elon Musk is attempting to create his own city called Starbase. We've seen some other really rich people come up with the same idea. There's that one, I think, in the Middle East where they just want to do that solid, thin stretch of city. It's pretty amazing, some of the ideas that people come up with. But the question is, why would they want to go through all of this effort to create their own city? Is there a reason?
Well, there is. The Starbase is a facility that Elon Musk's SpaceX owns and operates on the Texas coast. It is where the Starship rockets are launching from. Those are the really, really big ones that will eventually go to Mars, as per Elon Musk's hopes. We saw the spectacular video of one returning to the launch pad. I guess it was about a month or so ago. It was the rocket was speeding back towards the looked like it was falling, and then its engines ignited and it slowed down, and then the big launch tower's mechanical arms caught it. It was pretty fantastic to see. But a lot of SpaceX employees already live on site there. About 500, I think, at least, maybe even more now, and they're there with their families and whatnot. And so what SpaceX and Elon Musk would like to do is incorporate a town for them where they can develop more housing with appropriate services like, water and sewer and trash pickup and all that stuff, maybe even a school district or something along those lines. So that the community of SpaceX employees have a functional place to live. And, being that it's Elon Musk, I'm sure it might resemble, like the Jetsons or something like that. But at the same time, there is a practical thing here. It's probably a real modern analog to the old, like the mining towns. Remember those where you learned about them in your history classes, where the companies that operated gold mines and coal mines would pop up these towns for their workers and their families to live in. So they weren't, living in the wilderness or whatever it was. Now, I'm sure Starbase won't have saloons and brothels, but I mean,
they have
grocery stores and Walmarts, I think, will probably be more appropriate. But it's not unheard of. The Walt Disney Company for many, many years was able to control the land around Disney World for its development purposes. They lost that power when kind of going head to head with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis over the laws about sexualized content in school libraries. But still, even then, for many years, Disney did this. They also do it with a different property in Florida called Celebration, which is a master planned community that they own and developed. So it's not really out of the ordinary that someone would want to do something like this.
Yeah, and I think we all watched Oppenheimer when it came out last year, and my first thought was like the Los Alamos. So they're building something, and they have the common cause to work for the company, I guess, in that sense. They want to build their own city.
Yeah. Company town, yeah.
Yeah, and I like the old idea, the old mining towns, because that's how you get people involved. Okay, so billionaires want to do this. They like control. I think that's a part of it. They like to have the idea to self-govern outside of regulation. I think they may look at Disney, what you mentioned, and say, we don't want that happening to us. So we'll find another place like Texas that'll let us operate the way we want to. But other countries do this too. I mean, they try to create their own cities, and sometimes they end up creating some pretty amazing things out of nothing.
Well, that's true. They do. People will do this for different reasons. They congregate and build in one area, and then they decide they want to be have some kind of independence from perhaps another town or that has annexed the area or a county or whatever the case may be. And they want to self-govern. And whether it's a big corporation like SpaceX or automobile manufacturer or whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's just a group of people that want to do this, but it does happen plenty, and it's responsible for a lot of urban or suburban growth in this country, that concept. And so this, I think, is just a further exercise in that. Of course, again, it just happens to be Elon Musk's company, and he is moving the corporate headquarters of SpaceX there, I believe. It used to be in California. It's moved, I think, to Austin since, and he wants to move it down to where Starbase is located. So, it's not out of the ordinary. We'll put it that way.
And I think the Amish are looking at this saying, we've done it first and we've done it better. And if you're a Simpsons fan, this is exactly what Hank Scorpio did. He kind of created his own place and used it as a way to take over the world in a way. Okay, so not a totally unique idea. Self-governance, I think after the pandemic, people realized there was some value in moving away from some of the large cities, becoming more independent. And this seems just like on a mass scale, becoming more independent.
It does. I think it also makes a lot of economic sense. You know, you want your workers close to where they work, right? This eliminates commuting issues, I think, for a lot of people. And it may give them a great experience. Look, they're moving to work for SpaceX, and yeah, that's going to be a long time investment for them, having a career there. They want their families to live well. This might give them an idyllic place to be. And again, like I said, it's Elon Musk, so I'm going to assume the design standards might be a bit futuristic looking, and that can't be bad either.
So. Solar panels on every roof, you can mitigate the cost of living in a way. There's a lot of benefits.
Tesla roofs. Has the solar roof. They don't even need
That's
the
right.
panels.
It's
the actual roof tiles that are the photovoltaic cells.
Amazing. It's Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and Happy New Year to you.
You too. Happy New Year. Take care.
Not a Christmas song.
It's a Christmas song.
It's about riding a sleigh in the snow.
Which happens when? During?
Winter.
Christmas.
We had snow here in November, which was not Christmas.
Well, yeah, but they're also playing Christmas music in November. Your sister station there. KZK.
Yeah, they killed it last night at midnight.
Oh, did they? Oh, they cut the cord real quick, didn't they?
Yep.
But not
in.
You.
No. This
not
is
you,
not
Carl.
A Christmas song. This is a winter song.
Uh-huh. That's what they all say. All right. And that's what no one says, rather. That's only what Carl says.
And I'm
Ryan Recker filling in. And, you know, Mark Cox will be back tomorrow. Are you going to pull this on Mark Cox, or are you just doing it because I'm filling in?
Nope. Tomorrow, I have a different theme all set for Mark. And he'll be happy about it because it includes David Lee Roth.
Sammy Hagar. No, I thought he was a Sammy Hagar guy.
He loves Van Halen.
So he doesn't pick sides between Sammy Hagar and
David Lee Roth. You can like
David
them both, Ryan.
What about Gary Cherone?
That is not even an option.
Well, it has to be. He's a Van Halen fan.
Now, the song Without You from Van Halen 3 is not a bad song. Fire in the Hole, also not a bad song.
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones in there.
Yeah.
So our guest, it looks like we're not going to be able to connect with him. Is that about right? Are we going to assume,
as
or do you think there's a chance?
As far as I know.
Okay. We had a
as soon
guest
as we say it, he'll call. But the problem is, he's in Israel, and it's not the best place or best time to get a hold of anyone there.
True, but man, would that be an interesting conversation. I guess there's still a chance. We'll see. But let's talk about that and the Pope's message in Christmas, undershadowed by what's going on in Israel and war, among all those things.
Hey, look what Sandy said on Facebook.
Sandy, don't encourage Carl. Okay, Sandy's message. Carl, you're doing a wonderful job in justifying the winter songs versus Christmas songs.
None of them mention the Lord. None of them. And they're not just secular songs. They're winter songs.
Okay. I know what you're trying to do here.
And it's working.
And it's working indeed. You know, the Pope had a Christmas message yesterday, and it did not involve sleigh bells and ring-jing-jingling or anything along those lines.
Or jingle horses.
Or jingle horses. There was no jingle horses to be found at all there. So the Pope's message, Christopher Lamb was covering this, a reporter for CNN. Can we play clip number 7? I think it is 7.
Well, Pope Francis emphasizing that the message of Christmas is one of reconciliation and one of peace. He's calling on countries to lay down their arms, for enemies to be reconciled. And he had specific words about Ukraine and Gaza and the conflicts there. And this is what he had to say.
May the sound of weapons be silenced in Ukraine. May there be the boldness needed to open the door to negotiation. May the sound of arms be silenced in the Middle East. In contemplating the crib of Bethlehem, I think of the Christian communities in Israel and Palestine, and particularly to the dear community of Gaza, where the humanitarian situation is extremely grave.
Of course, you know the lyrics, God and sinner reconcile, and you understand those things. I wonder, I didn't watch the full message. Again, I'm not Catholic, so I don't really recognize the Pope as having any authority over me in the way I think with my faiths, but it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of Catholics and Catholics that may be listening right now that are interested in what the Pope has to say around this time. But going through, the Pope said in Christmas Eve Mass at the Vatican to urge Christians to think of, quote, the wars of the machine gun children of the bombs on schools or hospitals after another year of raging conflicts. And part of what you find with this Pope is that things get politicized in ways. Here's, and not to go on a Catholic Church rant or anything like that, I still don't think the Church has done a good job reconciling what they did to a lot of victims over the decades. They hid it for a very long time. We're finding individual states and areas are now finally getting a chance to look at the records that were hidden from the Church for as long as they have. So, you know, I think their priority should be to, I guess, reconcile their own history and the problems with it before they go and try to step into the political realm in ways and take sides that way. Let's put it that way. I'll also tell you, I saw pictures of the Pope and video of the Pope. He didn't look great. So you can tell age is catching up to him. And I understand that every time you see a Pope, for the most part, you think of an old dude, right? Kind of up there in age to begin with. But this is even progressing further than I remember seeing it last. But thus is time. It continues to move. There was another Fox News guest. This is Kaylee McGee White, and regarding leftism being its own religion and her argument on that. Let's play that clip number 5.
And again, I think what's happened is that young adults have not found in leftism what they have now been able to find in religion. Because remember, leftism is its own kind of religion. Sure it requires total obedience to its beliefs.
Yeah.
The problem is those beliefs just so happen to be at odds with human nature and what most people need. And so when that happens, its adherents are really left with one of two choices. They can either become even more radicalized,
right,
because they assume that the problem is they're just not militant enough. I think of the young adults who participated in the anti-Israel student encampments, or even the large number of young adults who shockingly support the murder of the United Healthcare CEO.
Just insane.
Yes. Or the other option is that they abandon leftism altogether, which is what we are starting to see. And I hope this election's results give us a little bit of insight into which direction they ultimately choose.
The, I guess, religion of leftism, kind of the thought there that they argue. In going back to my own experiences, and I think about church services around this time and the different messages that are brought up, and really, what should it be around? Like, what should the message of Christmas be? What should be preached? What should be put from the pulpit? Is it, hey, you need to look at world events, wars between countries that have always been at war? Or is it more of a personal message? Is it one that should be brought to you to say, there's a significance in what's happening here? The Savior of the world being introduced. Is there some significance in your own life? And the way that plays into your life. Is that something maybe you should reflect on? Is that the more important thing that the Pope should be bringing up right now? I don't know, because I'm not the Pope, nor do I want to be the Pope. Can you train to be the Pope? Have you ever talked to a kid on career day and they say, you know what I want to be when I grow up? The Pope. And then you realize you're born in America and that's not going to happen. They always find him from these other countries. You break it to the kid. Sorry, kid, you're never going to be Pope. And would you want that sort of responsibility? Going back, let me talk about here in the United States. There was one bishop in Indiana. Oh, I can't remember his name. It'll come to me here in a second. But he was the bishop, archbishop of Boston when the big scandal was breaking, when it came to the way that some people were abused by priests. And he raised the red flag and he said, we're going to eliminate all these people that are part of our organization, our ranks. We're not putting up with this. We're going to make sure they're prosecuted. But the Catholic Church wanted to hold different standards. Let's move them around. Let's put them in a different place. We'll have them pinky promise they won't do it again. And guess what? They did it again whenever they were moved to it. So the church had one way of handling it, and this one archbishop had a different way of handling it. They didn't like that he wanted to address it and get rid and weed the people out that were bad people. So they moved him to Indiana. So they said, you're going to be part of one of the biggest Catholic congregations, the head of it here in the United States. And we're going to move you to Fort Wayne, Indiana, which almost sounds like a setup to a Hallmark movie. And while he was there, he also presided over Notre Dame, you know, the big Catholic college. And he was one of the last things he did was he said, you know what, Barack Obama, you want to come talk to Notre Dame? You're going to have to change your views on abortion because that is contradictory to our message. And he said, you're not going to come speak here to Notre Dame. It was one of the last big things he did. But he was kind of vilified and looked at as a bad guy for standing up for some of these principles here. And I always admire that about him. And I thought those are the type of people they would never put in power, but those are the type that you would want to be ahead of your church, the one that stand on those sort of principles. I wish I can remember his name right now, but I'll think of Darcy. Darcy, that was his last name. I remember that now. So either way, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Either way, I hope that you had time to reflect. Maybe you read your Bible. Maybe you read your Bible out loud to your family and your kids, and you talk about the real meaning and what started some 2,000 plus years ago. And you can use that as a way to introduce that. And I've seen other people bring up messages that maybe when you hear people talking about it, it helps you self-reflect and maybe you draw a little bit closer to the Lord because of that. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. And we have one more segment left. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. If you wanted to find me online, Ryan Recker Radio at Ryan Recker on Twitter too. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1. FM Talk.
Not a Christmas song.
It's the happiest season. It's the happiest season, Carl.
But it's a season, not a day.
Could you play that in February and say this is the happiest season? No.
Yes, because then it's Valentine's Day.
No one's happy in February.
That's true.
No one is. even people that have couples, they have a partner and they're in love.
Christmas
they don't even
like February.
Christmas is a
season that lasts all year, Ryan. If you read your Bible.
Season. Christmas. It's in your heart.
Yeah.
If you read your Bible, it lasts all year, Carl. That's so funny. All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
You did excellent on the music today.
Thank you.
You said tomorrow's
tomorrow's a different theme.
It's Van Halen tomorrow.
No. Van Halen is a part. And
oh, okay, just part of it. Okay.
And Kiss, like, and I've given away too much already.
All right, let's not do any more breaking of the protocol, but let's say Mark Cox will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
And he'll have some fun. You're going to really make sure he eases back into the work week with a one-day show, then back to the weekend after
now,
that.
Now, he was here Monday. He was here for Festivus.
Was he now?
He was.
Oh, okay. So 2 weeks. Lucky him, man. He really split this up the right way.
Mm-hmm.
He figured out a way to cheat the system, and I admire that.
Well, yeah. The cheating of the system was the fact that he used too many vacation days, and that's why he had to work on Monday and Friday.
Oh, that's how he cheats the system. All right. We got a couple more clips we got to play before we run out of time. We have to. And this one's a long one, but I think it's hilarious. There's a Christmas prank that went viral after a woman tries to trick her husband by saying that she used the Christmas gas. What is the Christmas gas, you ask? You'll find out. Here's clip two.
Hello?
Hey, it's Hannah.
Hey.
We have a problem.
What is it?
I stopped and got gas on the way to work today. And they're out, like, some of the crew guys are out there looking at my car now, but they had, like, a special, or I don't really know what was going on, but I had to use the Christmas gas to get gas because the other ones had, like, bags on them. And my car is, like, sputtering so bad, like, it barely made it to work.
You had to use the what now?
The Christmas gas.
Don't play with me.
What are you talking about?
You don't play with me, Adam.
Why?
What do you mean the Christmas gas?
The green... It was a green handle instead of black.
I'll kill you for real. You better go run that car off the bridge somewhere if you did that.
What do you mean?
You better go run it off the bridge somewhere.
Well, it still made it somehow from Love's to... What was wrong with it?
Are you being for real?
What? I thought it was for the season.
I ain't doing this with you today. I ain't doing this.
What do you want me to do now, though? For real. Because my car was like, doo-doo-doo,
doo-doo-doo. Yeah, they're running off the bridge. I don't know. You got to total it. Total it out.
Ugh, you're not helping me at all. It was a simple mistake.
There's no helping you. You ruined your car. You put diesel.
Diesel?
Gas burner.
No. I got this at the gas pump.
Yeah, it's the diesel. The green handle is diesel. So, you know what? Leave me alone.
I would be so mad. Oh, my wife calls me. I put the Christmas gas in the car. Imagine they did that to your family car. How mad would you be at your wife? That is like a huge mistake. I would be as mad as him. I wouldn't say I'm going to kill you. I wouldn't say that to my wife. But what I would say is, what is wrong with you? Why would you do that? And I like that his first instinct is, we need to make it look like an accident. We need to drive it off a bridge because we need to total this car. That's the only way we're going to get anything out of it. Oh, no. They're from Alabama. She's 31 years old. Hannah Crawford heard about the prank from a friend and could not resist trying it on her husband. Her husband, Clayton Crawford, was not so happy with her on that. So she posted the prank call online. And apparently this started last year, the Christmas gas trend in 2023. So they thought maybe enough time has passed that you'd be able to move up past it. Don't play with me now. Don't play with me now. All right, I know we got a couple more minutes. What do we have time to play here? Oh, the naughty and nice list. Do you want to hear who Jesse Waters put on his naughty and nice list over at Fox News? I think everyone has their own. Let's do clip number 8.
I'll start with my naughty. It's Diddy. And it wasn't just this year. Okay. It appears to be he was very naughty for many, many years before this year. He just got caught this year. He's innocent until he's proven guilty. But from what we hear, he has been a naughty, naughty boy. On my nice list, we're going with John Fetterman.
Love it.
Oh,
because John Fetterman and I didn't get off to a great start. I thought he was brain dead, and I thought the people of Pennsylvania deserved better. But he turned out to be my favorite senator. And he's making more sense than Republicans and Democrats. So he's on my nice list with a little apology note.
He's apologizing to John Fetterman. Well, Carl's like upset with that pick. You're like, get out of here. I can see you on the video feed right now, like all these people on Facebook and YouTube. Get out of here, is what you're saying, John, with John Fetterman. So Diddy on the naughty list. I would say this is almost like a larger scale. You should be putting most of Hollywood in the entertainment business on the naughty list, because what we find is that he was part of this whole larger mindset and atmosphere that you can get away with this as long as you have, because, hey, that's how you party when you make it to the big leagues, right? And how many times have we seen rappers from that era in the 1990s who all say the same thing? Oh, yeah, we all drugged women. Oh, yeah, we all did this. And all these women have come out and have, you know, brought these concerns before that weren't taken seriously. And now all these lists are coming out. It's like you have the Epstein list that, you know, supposedly is there. I don't know if it's been 100% confirmed, but you kind of get an idea of who's on there. And now you have the Diddy list. Like, this is all these lists and people getting what should have came to them decades ago, but were allowed to happen under the guise that that's just what happens. Kind of a sad, shameful thing. So maybe the naughty list needs to be the entertainment business as a whole for anyone that participates in that sort of thing. On my nice list is Carl.
Oh, thank you, Ryan.
He's always so nice to me when I get to fill in and spend some time with you, and you make it so easy, Carl. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank Ethan for helping us out.
Ethan's fantastic, too. He's so good. Enjoy the rest of your day. Mark Cox is back tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.